Perek in Tanakh is Shmuel Beit, Perek Beit. So we have finished the transitional Perek, in which all of the irony of Shaul's life and the transference of at least the potential of the Malchut to David through Amalek, of all crazy things, as a punishment for Amalek. And this is brought out, by the way, in this very strange medrash in the Psikta, where the Amaleki is Doeg HaAdomi. So that he's called the Amaleki because it's all his fault. David is blaming him for the fact that he paskened. He was the one who told Shaul that one has to be Chomel and Amalek and so on. And there they were out in the How did this happen? He says to him, right? Miata. He asked me, who are you? So how did this horrible situation come about? And I said, Amaleki Anochi. Meaning it's because you didn't do the word of Hashem by Amalek. And so the Nezer al Rosho was his Tefillin Shel Rosh, and the Nezer al Zro'o was the Tefillin Shel Yad. So when David says to him, you rotten, no good neck, you were the one, how in the world, you were the one who said to do that in the first place. That's why it was novel. So how could you not realize that you're undermining yourself with these words? It was your own Eitzah. And there we darshan, who was Ve'eshma Bekolam, Yareti Et Ha'am, Doeg HaAdomi. Where Shaul felt that he should listen to him. He didn't allow him to destroy Amalek. So Doeg answers him, Ben Ish Ger Amaleki Anochi. So now I've done tshuva, like a ger who comes now to realize, so now I've done tshuva, so you should accept my tshuva. So David says to him, Damcha Roshcha, because of Novi Raka on him anyway. You were the guy who did all of that. So there it says, Vayasev Doeg Adoni, and he goes and he kills Doeg. But that, again, as Rashi says, I mean, it's very hard to believe this story, but that's not the point. The point is that there's this sense of closure on all levels of the horror of Shaul's life coming back now to haunt him on the killing fields of the Gilboa. And this is the sense that we have of it's all over, finished, closing with the kina of David. So now David is faced with a new situation. You'd think that the new situation means by definition that he goes in and he takes over and now it's time. And after all, he's got the crown and he's got the bracelet and he's got now everybody's belief, but it's not so simple. The reason it's not so simple is because we know that Shaul was a melech after the closing of Sefer Shoftim that ended with Pelegesh Begiva, that Klal Yisrael was Deiresh the Pasuk, suddenly, of Melachim Michalatzecha Yetzehu, to have been said when there was only one child left to be born to Yaakov, which was Binyamin. So they recognize that they cannot wipe out Binyamin, which of course brings us back to Yavesh Gilad, who are the one people that come to protect now the body of Shaul and his family. So the whole story is still connected back to the closing of Shoftim, in which there was a remes to the Malchut of Binyamin. And here's Yavesh Gilad again, saving Binyamin, right? Saving Binyamin, the women from Yavesh Gilad, the last people that could marry into Binyamin. And here indeed they save the body of Shaul. The problem is, as the Medrash points out, Milachim is Lashon Rabim, which means that Shaul cannot be the end of the Malchut of Binyamin. There needs to be another king. This is something that David is not going to move on himself. Because if the meaning of Milachim was specifically national Milachim, then it would be inappropriate for him to take away the Malchut from the family of Shaul any more than he was willing to take it away from Shaul. He refused to act against Shaul. He kills the Amaleki who acted against Shaul, Eich lo yareta. As I was, I would never have touched Shaul. I don't care how mutter it was, that wasn't the issue. And so, at this point, instead of acting now precipitously, what does he do? Vayi acharechein, after this story, Vayishal David Badunai Lemor, Ha'e'ele be'achat are Yehuda. Shall I go up? It's clear to him that he's not meant to be the national king yet, remarkably. But, can we establish Malchut Yehuda in Yehuda without its being a pegia in Malchut Binyamin over Binyamin? That's the question. Vayomer Adonai Elav, Ale, indeed, no longer to remain among the Plishtim with Siklag, having a shadow government for a possibility when the day will come that there's time for you, start your Malchut in Yehuda. Vayomer David, Ana, Ale, and to where precisely shall I go? Vayomer Chevrona, it's time to go to Hebron. Now, of course, this is the Ur Batumi. Now, Of course, the implications of Hebron are drastic and remarkable. Right? And this was, remember, the first Zechus Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, but as we've understood the relationship of Hebron and Yerushalayim, is that Hebron is always the undercurrent, the veins of the earth, which never ever was affected by any galut, was part of Klal Yisrael and the Zechus Eretz Yisrael from the time of Avot, and never ever changed. No one ever went into the Marat HaMachpelah. No one ever attempted to destroy the Marat HaMachpelah. It's the bones and sinew underneath the surface of the Zechus Eretz Yisrael. And it's because it derives, as we saw earlier, all of its kayach from womenhood. And that's why it goes all the way back to Rochav and in the entry into Eretz Yisrael, into the Zechus Eretz Yisrael from Sora, and the going back to the Chesed of Avram and so on. So this, when he's told to go to Hebron, it means that this is the place to be. Hebronah means to be mechaber, turn everything into Hebron. And remember that Hebron is a remarkable shiluv. I mean, it's a dangerous place. It's the place of the Anakim that turned into the Arbazugot of all things. So from complete maleness and giants and fighters and everything that was the opposite of Chibur, it turned into Arbazugot, as Rashi points out with the Medrash. So that he's told to do that. But at the same time, remember that Hebron was also an Ir Miklat. As an Ir Miklat, it means it's a place in which we're not mimatzei et hadin. It's a place that gives a mokum for even a rotzeach to be saved. And so sure enough, David goes up without hesitation. In other words, he recognizes, we understand, anybody who's sensitive and reads that first pasuk understands that David is aware of the fact that things are not going to be easy. Because if he needs to ask whether he should go up Bichlal, he perceives that he is not going to become king over Yisrael. And indeed, this turns into a very serious war, in which again, Binyamin is pitted against Yehuda. Nonetheless, Vayal Sham David, V'gam Shtei Nashav, Achinoam Yisraelit, Vavigail Eshet Navala Karmeli, which you think he would try to protect them and put them, leave them in their places. As the Malbim points out, he's Bedavka acting with complete bitachon that he was told to go up, he's going to go up with his whole family and expose them. Everybody came up to settle down in Yehuda. And of course, that was the last thing that he had done, was he sent, after the Tziklag battle, he sent all of the additional things to the people that had hidden him before in Yehuda. All around the area of Hebron, remember that he is related to Kalev. This is the area of Kalev. That's the Kilbi. It's the Kalev family. And indeed, now this is a different Meshicha, and it's a different Malchut. The Meshicha that Shmuel gave him was not yet in effect. They gave him a different Meshicha, which was clearly not of the Shemen HaMishcha. He's not allowed to use the Shemen HaMishcha, to make him king over Beit Yehuda, not over Klal Yisrael.
Is he the king of the tribe?
Clearly, that's exactly what he went up for, which is why he only went to Hebron, and not to the exposed Hebron, so to speak, which is Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is always ready to get itself chopped up. It's the exposed, whereas Hebron is the unexposed. So there we measure our success or our failures by Yerushalayim. Hebron is taking things for granted. This is how it goes. So that if he starts in Hebron, he's starting in Yehuda. So and he's accepting to be Melech on Yehuda, not Melech on Yisrael.
Well, that's important, right? I mean, for him to be recognized as his own
Shevet. Absolutely. But this is the recognition of Malchus Yehuda is a Yehuda orientation. Mm-hmm. There's something about Yehuda that he needs now. That was part of the Lamed B'nei Yisrael Keshet is from Yehuda, because the broch of Yehuda was Yotcha Oref Oivecha, and that's Yehuda Yotcha Yoducha Achecha. Chazal Darshan from there, that's the meaning of Alo Katuv B'Sefer HaYashar. The Sefer HaYashar is the broch of Yehuda that clearly was meant to use arrows. Yotcha Oref Oivecha. Pull your hand all the way back before letting go. It's got to be referring to an arrow.
Hebron was never captured,
and
there was always
a
Jewish population?
No, but the Mora of Hebron, underlying nature of Hebron, was always, yeah, it's not the city per se, it's what that city means.
Were there any non-Jewish there? Who was in Hebron?
Yeah, not now. No, but before we had to capture Hebron. After the Yoshua captured, well, Kalev captured. Vayishlach David Malachim El Anshei Yavesh Gilad. The first thing that he did was to make it clear that although he was Melech B'Yehuda, he was not challenging the Malchus of Binyamin. He didn't see himself as an enemy of Malchus Binyamin, but on the contrary, was extremely supportive of all those who would care for Shaul And his first message, therefore, is of all places to Yavesh Gilad. Vayomer aleihem bruchim atem ladonai, asher asitem achesed azeh im adoneichem, im Shaul, vatikburu oto. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you. And having done that chesed im ametim that you did for Shaul, your master. So notice he's acknowledging Shaul as their Adon. And you went and you buried him. Ve'ata yas Adonai imachem chesed ve'emet. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall do for you as well. Chesed shel emet, just as you did. Ve'gam anochi ye'eseitchem atova hazot, asher asitem adavar hazeh. And I want it very clear. I have nothing but admiration and support for what it is that you did, and you can expect nothing but rewards from me for this kind of act. Well, again, everybody's worried. I mean, is this, you know, the first thing he's going to do to assert himself? Of course, same way the Amaleki brought the crown, you know, maybe the first thing he's got to do is show that those who maintain loyalty with Shaul, after Shaul obviously was finished, they should be punished. So on the contrary, he goes out to show them, Ve'ata, techezakta yedechem, you should be strong. Your master is dead. Yeah, now, this has a double meaning, obviously. I was only mashuch to be king over Beit Yehuda. I don't assert myself over Benjamin. However, I'm telling you, you can be sure that nobody, as long as I'm around, nobody's going to attack you or make you any problems, because I am the one in charge of Yehuda. So if anybody tries to say that you did the wrong thing, let me know about it. That's the first level of meaning. The second level of meaning, of course, is the vigam, which is a reference to, I'm open to taking you under my wing as well. And although it's not clear in Shmuel, it is very clear in Divrei HaYamim that the hitpatchut of the next 7 years was very gradual. The opening of the seven-year period is about to be described, in which the second melech of Binyamin that was merumas in the Torah, the Melachim, becomes king, is protected as king, but is only able to maintain a malchus on everyone for 2 years. Then there comes a gradual deterioration, and in the Divrei HaYamim, we start hearing of the people that have begun going over to the other side, which includes the brothers of Shaul's own family, as we mentioned, Achei Shaul, in which literally, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people, leaders that are coming from Eivor HaYarden, from all of the various Shvatim, and then only at the end do we find a Yitchabrut, after the 7.5 years of the Malchus of David, in Hebron, do we find that he feels that everyone is joined in this. He will not make a move to go to Yerushalayim and to make himself king in the country as a whole until the period of Shaul and the son of Shaul would be finished. And so, Avner ben Ner, now meanwhile, Avner ben Ner, who was the Sar Tzava asher l'Shaul, lakach et Ishboshet ben Shaul v'ya'avireu machanayim. And so this Ishboshet was also called Baal, right? Ishbaal. So these were now maybe not other people that were roy from Malchus, but as we'll see. But Avner wanted to assert the Malchus of Shaul, because as the Medrash says, Avner, we'll see, David himself calls Avner an incredibly powerful and Sar and Gadol B'Yisrael. How is it possible that a Sar of Gadol B'Yisrael, as the Medrash, should fight against Malchus Beis David, which he knows Shmuel was Mitzava on, and he acknowledges in the end, as we're going to see, that we all know that Shmuel had made you Melech. So how did he put it off like this? And, I mean, Chazal even say in the end that why Avner ended up being killed was because of his ma'akev, Malchus Beis David, over Yisrael as well. But he had been derish the pasuk of Melachim in terms of Binyamin. And he was an absolutely committed Ben Binyamin, so that what was going on was his commitment to the idea of the Malchus of Binyamin, not to the persona of the Malchus of Binyamin. And we'll see that he did not get along all that well with Ishbosheth, and nonetheless was not interested in that. He was interested in the concept that he needed to protect that idea of Binyamin. If you take a look back, what's very interesting, take a look back, and where we talk about the idea of the Geula, the nature of Geula, you'll notice that it speaks there, both in the Megillah of Rut and in the Parsha of Geula and Vayikra, O Dodo, O Ben Dodo Yigaleno. Same thing happens with Yirmiyahu and Hanamel, we just had today's Gemara, where over there, it's Ben Dodo. This whole thing now revolves around his uncle, his cousin. That's how Shaul began. He comes from Shmuel, and it's strange pasuk. He meets Dodo. Who cares whether he meets Dodo? He meets Dodo,
on the way to
and Dodo says, so what happened? We met Shmuel, Shmuel. It's clear that the Dod believes something serious happened, right? So what did he say? Nah, he just said they found the donkeys. Come on, what did he say? Etvar melucha lo yigid lo asher amar lo Shmuel, right? Now, if, remember, Avner, Ben Ner, Aviel was called Ner, this is Ben Dodo. And Dodo is Ner. I mean, so the whole story of the Geula, and the focus on the question of family, I mean, that's what he's talking about. We've got the family of the Malchus that is trying to protect the Malchus, taking Ishbosheth ben Shaul, and brings him to Machanaim so that there shall be now a central Malchus in which Binyamin is going to be taking over the Gilad, Vayam Licheo la Gilad, gradually. And then on Ashur, Al Ashuri, in the end, Vel Yisrael, and finally Al Ephraim, Vel Binyamin, Vel Yisrael Kulo. So that he gradually builds up this Malchus to be recognized as the continuation of Malchus Binyamin, which therefore is meant to be Al Yisrael Kulo.
Including Yehuda?
No, and everything but Yehuda. Okay. So this is the first Yisrael Yehuda breakdown, right? So ben arba'im shana ish boshet ben sha'ul b'molcho Yisrael v'shtayim shanim malach. He was king for 2 years. Now, again, unfortunately, it's not that he was really king only for 2 years. Because the malchut, so long as it wasn't given over to David, over all of Yisrael, was still Binyamin. The problem is, he could no longer assert it beyond those 2 years. And after that, we find people crossing over. And the way it puts it in Divrei Hayamim, from day to day, more people were coming. Until you start listing tens of thousands, groups of soldiers, different shvatim bringing in 100,000 men, all coming to David. This was, from day to day, a growing malchut, as we'll see, in which David was getting stronger and stronger, and Beit Shaul was getting weaker and weaker. And so, for 2 years, yes, he was melech, ach Beit Yudah yu acharei David. Beit Yudah did not accept the national malchut of Binyamin, and they now follow David. Vayhi mispar hayamim asher haya David melech b'chevron al Beit Yudah, sheva shanim v'shisha chodashim. So it was for 7 years, 6 months that he was king. That was only over Yehuda, although it was gradually spreading. Now, Vayetzi Avner ben Ner, Vavdi ish Boshet ben Shaul mimachanayim Givona. And so now the edge of the areas was Givon, where we end up meeting Yehuda and Binyamin. And what happened was that Avner ben Ner, with some of the family of ish Boshet, that was the inner circle, they move from Machanayim after they've got this Malchut that's now stretching the Neber HaYarden as well. And meanwhile, Yoav ben Tzruya, the Avdei David, Yatzu, Vayivgishum al Brechat Givon Yardal. So we have for the first time a confrontation. Now remember that Yoav ben Tzruya, this is also all family people, because the Tzruya is the sister of David, the sister of Avigail, both of them ben Nachash. If we take the ben Nachash as being ben Yishai, who died be'it Yoshal Nachash, at the least it's a brother. So they would be cousins. But we're talking about the leading family of Yehuda, from Peretz, going from Rut now to Yishai. These are the people that feel the commitment to Malchus Yehuda, obviously. Exactly the counterparts of the Avner ben Ner, who has this commitment to Malchus Binyamin. Both of them based on a reading of the history of Klal Yisrael and the interrelationship of the nature of Malchus from Rachel and Leah, and the words that were said in Beit Lechem, Asher Bonu Shtehem at Beit Yisrael, and the issues of the Maorat HaMachpelah itself, in which we have now the burial of Leah, particularly, and the other Malchut that's coming from Kever Rachel, even at the time of the original Mishicha, in which Shmuel had made Shaul king. So we really are coming from two Kvorim. One, the Kvorim of Hebron, one, the Kvorim of Kever Rachel, and these are different senses of history, commitments, and what is it that we concentrate on? So Avner ben Ner, he's going all the way back to the Aviel, the commitment of Shmuel, the idea of making the public, taking responsibility for the public, making neres for the public, going around mimokom lamokom, something that Shmuel himself was very close to originally. And here you've got Yoav ben Tzruya, very committed to his family, and we'll see that there's other members of the family, because we have Amos also ends up being related. Now this is fascinating, because he seems to go through both of them. Because we have Amasa, who was together with Avner at the time of the story of Nov Ir HaKohen, who is a cousin as well, because Tzruya and Avigail are sisters, according to Chazal. So that what happens is, it's an amazing story, and we saw this before. Shaul tells them, the simple meaning of the pasuk, Shaul tells the men that are with him. Doesn't say who they were. It's Chazal who tell us that those men were Avner, and this is Amasa together with Avner. He tells them, Pegah b'Kohanim. What do they do, according to the Yerushalmi? They say to him, what makes us your men? The belt and the badge? Tear off their belt, throw it down. Take off the badge, throw it down. Goodbye. We're not part of this. So he has to turn then to Doeg, to tell him to do it. So these were people that, just because Shaul says something, doesn't mean a darn thing. As a matter of fact, Chazal contrast. Yoav was the one who accepted orders when David sends him an order and a message to get Bathsheba's husband knocked off. These guys are told by Amalek face to face to knock off your Novia and they won't respond. So you want to know why David says that Avner was greater than Yoav? That's why. So we have all of this sense of the commitment to the Malchus, but not the commitment to the person, of the clarity about what the Ratzon Hashem has to be, and doing it in that. These were very serious people. This is, and David's recognition that Avner is the greater one, because he's a guy that you can trust not to do what he's ordered. And what an amazing thing. So he has no interest in going on. This is like a continued tension that we find throughout the story of David and Yoav, the entire life of the characters. After death as well. I mean, David leaves orders about how to deal with Yoav. So this, from this moment on, is a big, big issue. Yoav is committed to the Malchus of Yehuda, but not to taking orders from David. He sees David, in a sense, as being a stooge, in the same way that Avner sees Shaul and Ishbosheth as being a stooge, not his stooge, but the Malchus of Binyamin's stooge, or the Malchus of Yehuda's stooge. And when Yoav perceives that David is failing Malchus Yehuda, he talks to them the way he talked to a little boy. And David himself says later on, I can't deal with these guys. They're tougher than I am. Ani ayom rachu mashuach melech, and these b'nei tzuri are kashim im, and he says that openly. So imagine at the first moments of the Malchus, when he's coming up to Yehuda, and these are big, tough guys. And you're talking about Avner. I mean, the Gemara says Avner was a guy who said, if there was any point of reference, I could move the earth. But what can I do? I got nothing else to hold on to, you know. But that's how powerful he says to himself to be. Whereas the way the other Medrash talked about, we spoke about this Medrash earlier, that Avner, to move one of Avner's legs would be like taking a 6 meter wide wall and trying to push it. So these were people that had the tremendous power of Amidah, so to speak. Stubborn. You can't push him. So that they're not going to be easily changed for the way they think you have to deal with things. And David cannot control them. So that this first meeting over here went beyond Ishbosheth and went beyond David. It was the two men who were committed not to them as people, but to ideas that spanned history. So they were ideologues, these people. Ideologues who were ready to do anything to make sure that their ideas would win. And here we have for the first time this horrific scene in which Avner Ben-Ner, who's all alive and tingling with Malchut Binyamin, and Yoav Ben-Tzruya, who's been waiting all of his years to finally assert Malchut Yehuda. And here they are on the Brecha of Givon. By the way, the Brecha of Givon exists and can be seen in the picture. I'll upload the, but I think there was a small one also. Yes, here is the Brecha in Givon.
It's huge.
Huge. Yeah, you can't get the size of it here properly. What you need is a picture with people standing around it. So I'll upload that. But there they are in the Brecha of Givon, one on one side, one on the other side. And so what we have is Vayeshu Ela ala Brecha Mizeh, Ve'ela ala Brecha Mizeh, and this is like a face down. So it's all sort of friendly, because after all, we're on opposite sides, but we're both really working for the same ultimate goal, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision of the Malchus. So Yomer Avner al Yoav, so Avner says to Yoav, why don't we have like a little testage strength, you know? Yakumu na ne'arim v'yesachaku lefanenu. Why not let the boys fight it out? Let's see who can establish themselves as being stronger. Vayomer Yoav Yakumu, by all means. Well, this little game is a question of championship, essentially.
That's what they're
saying. Yeah, let's see how they can work it out. Now, obviously, there's a tremendous amount of tension and anger and resentment over the years. I mean, these are people that have been in the desert, running away from Avner. You know? They're not exactly very pleasantly disposed towards Avner and his men. You know, I mean, it's all very nice to talk about a little championship in a wrestling match And it very rapidly gets completely out of control and turns into horror.
But they're avoiding a direct confrontation. Really, should we yell against Avner directly? And he's saying, you know what?
Why should it be? On the contrary, no. None of us are against anybody. We want to see, really, who has the leading position, who is... Yeah, we're camps. We stand for different things. There was no desire for warfare at this point in the open. We're friends. But we understand. We're very, very different. Let's have the teams fight it out. So let the boys fight it out. And so they select 12 guys on each side. So they got their teams. Vayakumu, Vayavru, Bimispar, Shneimasar Levin Yaminu, Leish Boshet, Ben Shaul. Again, making very clear that these are not people. These are people standing in for the entire idea of Binyamin and Ishbosheth. Shemasani Avdei David doesn't say a word about standing in. They were not fighting from a position of wanting to assert, because that was the whole point of David. He made it very clear, I'm going up, Alpi Adibur, I'm in Hebron, Yehuda, I am not even acting as the melech that was Moshuach HaYadei Shmuel. I'm acting as a local king that the local family was Moshiach. So it doesn't say over here that it was for David and so on, for Yehuda. Not a word about that. That itself points out that we're talking about one sense of desperation on the one hand, and on the other hand, sort of an openness to whatever will work out. So they start off as a wrestling match. So they grab each other's heads, right? And it turns into a knife battle, straight out of West Side Story. So Vayachaziku ish berosh re'eu, and sure enough, in no time at all, charbo betzad re'eu, they kill each other off. They end up, the entire gang is killed. Both teams are killed. They call it the knife battle in Givon. Now, of course, it has a double meaning, because Yoav ben Siruya sure sounds a little bit like the Tsurim. It got completely out of control. Now already it's a war. It's all out, because, I mean, once somebody killed the first guy in the gang, that was it. I mean, this was simmering for years, and it just broke out on the surface, and it was absolutely horrific. Here again, they're standing as an army, so to speak. Anshei Yisrael against Avdei David, and there were all three of Bnei Tsruya. Vayusham Shlosha Bnei Tsruya, Yoav V'Avishai V'Asael. Now, Asael was famous. Asael Kal Beraglav Ke'achad HaTzvayim Asher B'Sadeh. This guy was so fast that he could outrun a deer. Chazal say that he would run so quickly that he would barely touch the ground, so you wouldn't see any of the grass like moved underneath him, you know. And he is after Avner, and he's not going to let go. So vayirdof Asael achare Avner, v'lo natal alechet al yamin v'al smol me'achare Avner. He's going to get him. Vayifin Avner acharav. So Avner looks behind him. Vayomer hataza Asael. Asael, I hope that's not you. Vayomer, oh, it's me. Anochi, Vayomer Avner, please, do me a favor. You want to prove a point today? Netelecha yamin chal smolcha. Turn to the right, turn to the left, grab one of the kids, take away his belt, you know, and you'll prove that you're a big man. But don't make me kill you. Please don't make me kill you. That's good enough, no? He refused to let go. Vayosef od avner limor al asael. Please, sur lecha miacharai. Lama akeka arza. For me to kill you, I'll never leave it down. Ich esapanei al yoav achicha. Now, take a look at the interrelationships here. I mean, it's just, you know, we're not talking about crazy gangs. We're talking about people who know each other, committed to each other, respect each other. I beg you, I'll never be able to look at your brother. If I have to kill you, which I have to do to save my life, if you're going to keep after me like this, just go away. Vayima en lasur. He absolutely refuses to turn aside. Vayakeo avner ba'acharei achanit. He didn't have enough time to turn around. Right? The kid is right behind him. Asael is right behind him. But Avner kills him with the back of the chanit, because he gets him directly. He's such an incredible, sensitive marksman. Without even looking behind, he gets him through the fifth rib, which is exactly where, as Chazal say, you've got it's him through the liver and the lungs, and exactly through that point, so that he didn't need the blade. He didn't use the blade. He used the back of the chanit, elachomesh. They used to have, there's actually a picture of what the back of a chanit looked at, so that it was meant to be used as sort of it wasn't a regular blade. It was a blunt instrument, but compared to the blade. But nonetheless, it went straight through him. Vatetze achanit, the chanit came through his body, me'achorav. Vayipol sham vayomo tachtav, and he dropped there dead. Vayikol abal amakom ashenafal sham asael vayomot vayamodu. The shock of Asael's death, we'll see in a moment, of how incredibly choshev Asael was, that that one death was enough to shock everyone at how things have reached this stage. Vayirdefu Yoav v'Avishai acharei Avner. And so Yoav and Avishai, are, you know, their brother has been killed, are chasing after Avner. Vashemesh ba'a, it's getting dark. Ve'im abo ad givat ama, asha al pnei giach, derech midbar giv'on. Vayitkapzu b'nei v'nyamin acharei Avner v'yiyu aguda achas. This is now turning into a war. So all b'nei v'nyamin are coming to support Avner against this attack by b'nei Yehuda. Vayamdu arosh giva achat, and they stand up there, and they actually form a ma'aracha. Vayikra Avner o Yoav. Avner cries out to Yoav and says, look, this is crazy. Vayomer halanetzach tochal cherev. Are we going to keep fighting forever like this? Halo yadata ki marat yeh ba'achronat. This is going to be very bitter in the end. Of course, this was bitter all the way back to Pelegish Begiva. I mean, this almost wiped out an entire Shevet. I mean, how are you going to do this again? Is that what we're talking about here? So it's now the world against Binyamin, maybe? V'ad matay lo tomar la'am l'shuv mi'achrei acheyem. For God's sake, when are you going to tell people to stop chasing after their own brothers? V'yomer Yoav, chay Elohim, ki lulei dibarta, ki az me'abokena la'am ish mi'achrei acheyem. It's you, stupid idea of having this ridiculous face-off. If you hadn't spoken up in the morning like that, this whole thing would never have happened. So now all of a sudden you're the big guy that says that we should stop fighting. That's really nice of you to figure that out by now. And of course, it could also mean the reference to right now. You know, it's a good thing that, you know, the earlier you would have said this, the better. Vayitka Yoav bashofar, vayamdu kol ha'am v'lo yirdefu od acharei Yisrael, v'lo yasfu od leilachem. And so the face-off was over.
So he stopped it.
He stopped it on the spot. So he was waiting for Avner's acknowledgement that this cannot be a war. There may be two elements of the Malkus that need ultimately to work themselves out, but let's not have any talk about competition. So the moment Avner called it off, he called it off on the spot. There was no desire to Chas v'Shalom fight here. And so they just try to get out of the way. Avner v'anashav achu ba'arava kol alayla hu v'yavru at hayarden. They crossed the Yarden and they come back to Machanayim, which is where they had originally set up the Malchus of Ishboshet. He gathers everybody together to see what the casualties are. 19 people were killed from David's group, plus Asael. And why is Asael listed separately? Because Asael was Shakul Keneged Kulam. You can't even include him. With the same way we say the Arim plus Yericho, to teach me that Yericho was the essential Knesset Eretz Yisrael. The Avdei David, Hiku mi Binyamin, u'b'anshe Avner, 360 ish metu. 360 people died from the men of Avner. Vayisu et Asael, vayikbru bekever aviv asher beit lachem, vayilchu kol alayla Yoav v'anashav, v'yeor lahem b'chevron. And so after burying him in beit lachem, it was a horrific day, a day that ended in Avelut. They went all of the night, and the sun rose for them as they came in to Hebron. And here, madly enough, the Goyim end the Perek, so we'll pretend that that's the end, but of course it includes the next Pasuk in the Parasha, because this was a catalyst to war that was not settled. They end here.
What about Blitzkrieg?